Welcome to Global Business with Mahesh Joshi. Today we are going to discuss one of the most important and relevant subjects of the modern times, probably, the big analytics and how it's changing the landscape of global business. I have with me Vishal Kumar, an author, innovator, and a mentor. Vishal is CEO and president of Analytics Week. He's a leading advocate for data-driven decision-making. He's rated as top 100 global influencers to follow in data analytics by leading research organizations. He has published two books on the topic subjects. Currently, his work involves using artificial intelligence to prepare workforce for the future. Vishal has also been a keynote speaker at various international conferences, and he also sits as advisor to various analytics startups. So welcome, Vishal, to our show today.
Thank you so much, Mahesh. It's an honor and a privilege, and I think you have built a fabulous franchisee and sparking some interesting conversation. I've always been a fan of how businesses are shaping up and how businesses should know how this rapidly changing keyword is evolving. So I do appreciate you for taking this initiative and helping educate all of us how a global landscape is shifting with the shifting of technological landscape. So excited to be part of it, and thank you so much, and looking forward to having some fun conversation with you.
Thanks, Vishal. I'll start with the very basics. So basically, analytics is about making good business decisions. So as I understand, just giving reports with numbers doesn't help. We must provide information in a way that best suits our decision makers. Now, data may not replace the common sense and gut instincts as a decision-making tool. Those have been there for a long time, and people built it with their experience. But it definitely is becoming an irreplaceable strategic weapon in the business world, especially to stay competitive. Now, that could be a competitive advantage if you are data-driven. Now, there are more than enough evidence available, and there are reasons to believe, and it's proven beyond any kind of doubts, that what we've always done based on intuition may not be the best way to go. So I want to pick up your brains, and I would like you to share your expert opinion on this subject.
I think that's extremely rightly said, Mahesh. So definitely, world is evolving all around us, and we have a lot of data and capability nowadays that we as human and businesses globally would be able to leverage. And I think there is also there are sort of two areas where I see that. So intuition is still important. So if you look at, if I wear my statistics hat or statistician hat, so intuitive, so all the good models that we have for predicting success, if you have some intuition in it, definitely that's a go, right? So those are some of the successful models. They use some smart percentage of intuition. And I think...
So you're adding personal intelligence into data intelligence. So it's an exponential factor there.
It's because we as humans, we have gained so much of insights over the time that AI still is not proficient enough to pick those things up. And there, I think so. Let me talk about one of the from the innovation end. So I wrote about this in my book, Data-Driven Innovation, is that there are two kind of innovations, top-down and bottom-up, right? So if leadership thinks this is the strategic way to go, let's go with that, right? So that perspective still appreciates the idea of intuition, right? So Henry Ford put it the best that if you ask people what they want, they probably want faster horses, right? So definitely we need disruptors, we need sort of rule breakers. On the other side, if you talk about bottom-up innovation, so innovation that's coming out from consumer analytics, innovation that comes out from what your customer really want, those capabilities we have been guessing since till now, because there was not enough capabilities available to leverage data that we capture from those transactions with these communities or our clientele. Now, with the current landscape, we'll be using more and more of those opportunities where we can learn from the customers and see exactly what they want even before they think they want it. So that's the truly a strategic edge. But I see that the both of the world are still having some play and some sort of some overlap in that as well, in which we can sort of expand.
Perfect. That's great insight. Now, you know, in the last many years, Vishal, if you go recent past or beyond, we have seen there has been a very steady increase in importance of data analytics. You know, it's not limited only to organizations. It's in all organizations now. It's even in consumer good companies. It's in professional sports franchises. It's in political consultancies, medical research institutions, financial firms, you name or whatever, it's there. And the change which you see is that at the heart of many of these analytics in these organizations is not necessarily the data scientist, you know, but often a data analyst who understands his or business and department in addition to the data it uses to drive a good decision or drive the decisions. And, you know, see the data of it. I was seeing somewhere the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics has reported that the job market for various data analysts discipline is growing at almost 30% annually, which is three times more than the national job growth average. I think that's only close to slightly above 10%. And also, there are a lot of predictions which are coming about the analytics and what's the role of analytics, how it's going to impact not only the business, sports, political landscapes in future. So one of the predictions which I see, and especially for the kids coming out of college, which it says, in future, data analysts will be the hottest job. You know, as you see the demand in recent past for data analysts has gone up. It has never been so high. And definitely there's a lot of data being generated. And it's expected to go up. It's not going to slack in near future. Right. And the simple reason being, the amount of data has to be dealt is huge. And there is an ever increasing need for perfecting the analytics of that data. There's no end in innovation on it, that how many different way you can cut it and make it talk the right language. And even universities, if you see, they are providing specialized degree programs, you know, on analytics. And if you see, that there are a lot of businesses and economic, not a business, even economic students are taking up these courses. It's not only just the computer science guys. Earlier it used to be that. That trend is changing. And the growth which is there already in supply of data analysts is also supported by what you get if you are a data analyst. What you get is it's a very intellectually fulfilling job because, you know, you make the data speak and you make it provide information or decisions which otherwise your intuition or something else was not supporting it. Or maybe it was there, but it provides a backup support to your decision. And also, in future, they're supposed to give lucrative career paths for them. So basically, the combination of the demand and supply in the market for data analysts, it may make it the hottest corporate job for future. You know, what are your thoughts about the trend which is building up?
I think that's, so again, exceptionally very good point, Mahesh. So definitely we have a lot of data available for us to chew. We have those capabilities that we have built that, and the craze is such right now. So talk about one of the world's largest coffee companies said, we're not a coffee company, we are a customer experience and software development company. One of the largest manufacturers of industrial engineering says, hey, we're not an industrial engineering company, we are one of the largest software data science company. So almost every...
That's a, sorry for interruption, but that's a very good point you brought. Look at what GE is telling nowadays.
Right.
Maybe you're hinting there. That was an industrial conglomerate with financial arm, which came up in the past, wherever they are now. But you're absolutely right. That is kind of showing the change in the trend.
Right. And I think that's very fulfilling to see, that at least there's mm-hmm. the demand and the need and the urgency to jump on the bandwagon is really high. And I think regarding the data analyst being one of the hottest role of today, I think I look at it as, again, statistician perspective, looking at the qualitative and quantitative angle to this particular problem. So mm-hmm. quantitatively, yes, there's a lot of data, so we need people who can understand this data, who can somehow analyze this data, who can figure out what's mm-hmm. going on with this data. So that is definitely a very big and gigantic, or as we have something called huge, yes, that goes on in it. When we talk about qualitative from that angle, so I think that more of a storytellers or data investigators. So data analyst probably is would mm-hmm. not foot that bill, but I think you pointed out beautifully, mm-hmm. economist. Are jumping into this bandwagon. Astrophysicists are jumping on this bandwagon. They want to understand. And so mm-hmm. now these guys are coming up with from their domain, right? And they want to see, okay, I understand my domain, but I was given very limited data when I started this career. But now you have a lot more data. So can you mm-hmm. tell me something that I can translate back into my domain, right? So those perspectives, so that's going to be another biggest problem. So I think there was one of the stat that I saw a bunch of a couple of months back. It talks about there are two enterprise vertical, corporate development and strategy building, and the second being mm-hmm. engineering and technological development. Both of these verticals mm-hmm. is seeing already massive shortage of talent, right? So that means we have a lot less people to cover for that particular area. So that means that mm-hmm. area is available for disruption, right? So we are seeing a lot of automation mm-hmm. jobs coming in. We are seeing a lot of AI jobs coming in. And then almost every mm-hmm. other vertical now needs to step into these verticals, these corporate strategy mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. on the other side, engineering, to understand what's going on and then bring the science bring the art back to their respective silos. And typically I call the strategy as art, because that is our strategic uh-huh. edge, our competitive edge, and the engineering is the science. Uh-huh. So any business to exist, uh-huh. you need an art and a science working together to deliver an outcome. So from that perspective, I think absolutely a big yes, that data analysts would be a great job but also those vertical heads or vertical representations from all other vertical and industries to stepping in and talking to this data analyst and taking the insights and sort of delivering it to their business leadership on what's happening. So that's going to be a massive plus as well as we head into this future.
That's a brilliant point. Vishal, thank you for great insights. We are end of our first segment. We'll take a short break. And then we'll continue the discussion. Welcome back. You are listening to Global Business with Mahesh Joshi. Today, we are having a very interesting discussion with Mr. Vishal Kumar, an author, innovator, and mentor. And we are discussing also one of the most important in the modern times, the big analytics and how it is changing the landscape of global business. So Vishal, we had a very interesting discussion when we took the break. I just want to get back into a little bit on the nuts and bolts of it. You know, the analytics and all has to be supported. Data analytics, data collection. IT has an important role on it. If it does not embrace it, there's an issue. And what it looks like from the recent past, that IT is embracing the self-service analytics movement, that it is facilitating it. You know, definitely the demand for data analytics is increasing, and it is putting tremendous pressure on IT to develop the infrastructure, the tools, and other things to enable users who are in a very broad spectrum, you know, and they are looking to get answers through the data, and IT has to help out there. And the good part now is the users are not only the individuals with the data analyst role. They are not. But also those in the organizations, in the businesses who work with data every day, and they are not working on any individual part of it. They are working across various functions. It could be marketing, to operations, to finance, to HR, everywhere. So IT needs, or maybe Alison will embrace, the concept of self-service analytics. And they have an important role to play by enabling business users with access to critical data. Not by the individual is kind of collecting data, analyzing, writing programs, rather getting the critical data. That's the role of IT. And I think they've already started moving in that direction. And by providing business users with leading-edge analytics tools, which IT can create, that will allow them to create sophisticated analytics without requiring, running for programming assistance from data scientists when you need the data, or other analysis, or without waiting for data from IT. They want to do it themselves. Like you can have your screen always giving you some clear analytics instead of picking up data, analyzing, then coming out with some outcomes. And I think the companies will find themselves on a new competitive footing. And I would call that as an advantage and ready to uncover really, really some hidden trends, which otherwise are not available, which the data analytics will give them. And that is going to take them probably to leadership positions in what they do. What do you think? What are your thoughts about such a situation? And what would be the role of a leader in such situations in future?
I think a very, very loaded question. So I think it's however simple it sounds, this is one of the most crucial point that you pointed out, Mahesh. I think, and you are pretty much hitting right on the nail. This is one of the most challenging situation and one of the most or one of the brightest opportunity, right? When we see this us stepping into this future of business. So basically, as we discussed in our last segment, that there is a shortage of talent in strategy and core development and technology and engineering development. So strategy to me is that art, right? So and typically art is what is fascinating about a business. That is the competitive edge. That is why the business exists. That is why they have the footing that they have. So now, mm-hmm. leaders have the strongest sense of the pulse of a business, right? They are connected to the culture or that sort of strategic initiatives of a business. So now, with this evolution of engineering, I think one of their number one job role for a leader is to preserve and protect their culture, right? Mm-hmm. So now, when you throw these keywords and this rapidly evolving word and the panic button all together, I think it's leaders' job to stay calm and composed at the same point, understand the agility of the situation, right? So I think one thing that so they are progressive leaders. So some of the leaders are, they know it. They know what's going on. So they move faster than the businesses. They try to get all these evolution and all these changes into the corporate architecture and a hierarchy. Mm-hmm. So many of the leaders that we mm-hmm. spoke to and we talked about, some of them are really rock stars. So one of the stories that I can quickly quote here. So actually two stories. Mm-hmm. So one is there's a company in Canada, and they make sort of very heavy engineering bench. And they sell it to military grade. So these are expensive military grade benches that they send. And they sell about, I think, 100 to 120 per year. Not much. And one of their leader, they came in touch with us saying this, hey, what is big data? Like, what is analytics? I want to stay competitive and I want to... Right. And I said, sure, tell me your story. And does this bench have sensors? No. What's going on? No. Do you capture anything? No. So... But he was alarmed and he said, no, I want to leverage that to my point. So those are like kudos to these guys, because that's something that it's not easy, because that, again, they have to preserve and protect their current businesses. And the other story was, which is actually a fascinating success. So we talked to one of the modem manufacturing company, and they sell modems to mm-hmm. Caterpillar and the sort of like those guys. So now,
right.
Even before there's a wave of analytics, so they say, hey, we have modem that captures that can talk to the central server. So we talk to their trucks and their engineering equipments. Mm-hmm. Why don't we build a capability that help Caterpillar and these heavy engineering companies locate exactly where what is happening, so we can optimize the route for them, mm-hmm. and pretty much they can save so much on fuel, they can save so much on logistics, and there's definitely a plug for autonomous vehicle. And mind you, these guys are not manufacturers of these engineering equipment. These are just a modem company who just think, mm-hmm. hey, why not we pretty much create some capability that someday maybe like some of these guys would need. And mm-hmm. I think, again, so they now run substantial business of a couple of these engineering companies, helping them understand and sort of automate those architectures. Mm-hmm. So again, one mm-hmm. of the very fascinating story of some of the leaders who jumped pretty quickly in getting themselves attuned to this change. So cultural change is one of the most challenging one. And I think mm-hmm. it's progressive leaders are nice to have, but unless mm-hmm. they have sort of some affinity or some interest in the future and they have some willingness to change, and I think and even from the other part of the company, they should also understand that what leaders are going through. I think this is another area that we many times not put too much attention to. How a leader is thinking, mm-hmm. that will help us structure our thought. That's why communicators are very important in all these verticals, because you have data, you have visibility, but somehow if you can't talk, how leader can listen? Mm-hmm. Then obviously there's a big mm-hmm. whoopla. So to your point, yes, leaders are extremely important, and I think we should be cognizant on that fact, and leaders should be more forgiving and more open to trying new things. And they should definitely mm-hmm. preserve and protect their culture.
Yeah, because, you know, the environment has changed. And that's where the leadership becomes very important, because the unique features of a company or a business where they're differentiating are changing very, very fast. You know, the data, you can say, as the mentioned fact was the king, and now it would be analytics, and then it would be the quality of analytics with this speed. So how quickly you can figure out what's happening and what data can tell you exactly, and what's your refinement level. If you had to build that kind of organization, the leaders will have a very important role, as you mentioned, and then you give a very good example of the company which is heading in that direction. Okay. Vishal, as you pointed out, you're talking about some sensors and all that. So basically, what you're collecting data. So what would probably happen in future is the predictive analysis will go mainstream. So you're always collecting the data, you're predicting what's going to happen. So like definitely the emergence of big data has increased interest in predictive analytics. It has also significantly expanded the market for advanced analysis. And if you look at it today, every function in an organization can see the value in predictive analytics to improve the performance of the business. You know, till very recently, you know, actually running predictive analytics required very expensive data scientists. IX goes with the PhDs, especially in products, engineered products, industrial products. And it used to be very little, but a lot of very exhaustive, high bandwidth engineers, PhDs were needed for that. But with the demand for predictive far outpacing the supply of data scientists, it has changed. Things are changing, and the technology is supporting it. So the number of new college graduates want to use the newest cutting edge tools without being a programmer. You don't need to be a programmer or PhD to do a good predictive analysis. It is how you analyze the data and how it gets channeled to you. You know, and with the real-life business experience of existing data analysts, you don't need to be a computer programmer. You need more of that and the data. As you earlier mentioned, that you will still need gut and instincts, but you will need a good data, a good analyzed data to make a collection of those two as a good decision. So the predictive analytics will probably become accessible to everyone in future. So Vishal, my question to you here is, in your opinion, how is the big analytics changing the business world across the globe? Because today, the business is absolutely global. It's connected across the world. You know, people telecommute, a lot of things are happening. So I just wanted to capture your opinion that how this will impact the way business is being conducted across the globe. What we're going to do now is we'll take a short break, and we'll start with your answer once we come back. Welcome back. You are listening to an interesting discussion today on global business with Mahesh Joshi. We have Vishal Kumar, an author, innovator, and mentor, discussing one of the most important and relevant subjects after modern times, the big analytics and how it's changing landscape of global business. And before the break, I had posed a question to Vishal. Vishal, I would like to take your opinion on how is the big analytics changing the business world across the globe?
I think that's a very, very good question, Mahesh. So I think as we discussed in our previous segment, so it's definitely a keyword, right? So there's a lot of shortage, there's a lot of demand. The press is doing its job in creating the panic, so businesses are worried. And some businesses who actually have started jumping early in this bandwagon are showing some colossal improvements, and they are seeing some of the interesting findings, so as to speak. So definitely, it's a great opportunity for all the businesses. And I think one of the things that global businesses. So I think for local, this is easy, right? So they have one monofocus, and they have this value chain that they deliver in that particular sort of their site, and they have one single presence and one source of truth. But if you are global, so you have a massive cultural, socioeconomic impact that you give out to the economy and communities. So one of the things that so analytics is extremely important. So for a company like Dove and a company like Unilever and Procter & Gamble, and I was talking to a company, they make fragrances. It's interesting. So this guy, so he gave me an interesting insight. He said, Vishal, do you know that in after every 250 miles, the taste of mango changes, or at least the taste of flavor of mango you need to put at a... So I never knew that. Yeah. I said mango, I just know like 3-4 mangoes that I love eating, and I thought that's pretty much what I'm eating across. So right. This is the mango in Asia versus the mango in... So there are like about 270 flavors of mango in Asia. And that is the power of analytics, right? So they capturing the palate, and from there on, understanding what's going on and giving it back to the community and businesses. Now businesses are that smart to figure out that they need a different palette for every X miles to sustain their growth. These are some of the things that we can even, like, we can't even dream, or we can't even imagine that what analytics can do for us. And another interesting story that I remember, one of the number one retailer, online retailer in the world, we all know who he is, or who this business is. Mm-hmm. So one of the core differentiator, or one of the core element in a retail business, is pricing strategy, right? How you can price your product to a consumer based on their understanding of the value that this particular product will generate for them. So now, for this particular business, it's matter of it used to be hours, but now it's less than an hour, that they can predict what you want and what you can pay for that price, and then you can pretty much give that price product in front of you. So it will always be lucrative to you, but on their end, they can actually do a price sensitive analysis and give it to the right people. And their next competitor, who's again, I can't name that, but they can do this in 4 days. So now, with that edge, right, that's the power of analytics. So it is making some serious impact. Oil manufacturing,
it's a competitive
companies,
advantage.
Yes, yeah. And I think there are a couple mm-hmm. of oil drilling companies, just by looking at the seismic mm-hmm. data, they're trying to figure out mm-hmm. where to drill and what is the success rate even before right. they invest into drilling. Because I was talking to one of the Saudi company that drill, and they say they have very little margin of error, right? If you end up dugging a wrong hole, it's a colossal failure, and there's a lot of infrastructure investment that they are putting in. So they have to be massively accurate. So like analytics mm-hmm. is helping shape that part of the world in a pretty massive ways. So I think mm-hmm. nothing but all fun for businesses who are in this. And I think they will be seeing some interesting use cases emerging as more and more businesses start using analytics in their global presence.
Nice. And you know, Vishal, you bring a good point on the consumer products and others. And we are hearing a lot about IoT, the Internet of Things. And there's another prediction which is coming up for future, is that Internet of Things will get more organization interested and interested in factories and even using geospatial analytics. You know, today we live in the world of mobile devices. And these devices have provided access to location-specific information. They provide very well. A mobile device can tell companies about our taste, you know, preferences and movements. You're talking about the mangoes, taste of mango. It could be any fruit, could be anything else.
Right.
And who is the beneficiary here from this information? It's the consumer.
Right.
You know, now, if you look at, there's some data I was looking at, only 23% of the organizations today are using location intelligence. That's a new one now for critical business decisions. I think you hit it during this one of the retailers example you were giving it. You know, that's also part of it. The who's visiting you, what the tastes are, and how often they come in, and where they are at a point of time where they're arriving from. So it looks like it's going to change dramatically in future for decision making. So the cost of IoT devices today, the sensors and all, has dropped tremendously. And there are a lot of people who are getting, there are a lot of people who are getting access to self-service analytics platforms. And quickly, I want to refer PhotonX, you're the CEO of the company with us, and they were trying to read the mood of a person by taking pictures and suggesting music and food and all that kind of stuff. And the geospatial analytics have been mainstream for several years. It's nothing new, but it's not being used in day-to-day life as it should be, and it's not been given that kind of visibility, but it's there. And data analysts will move beyond collecting location reference data in the future. That's expectation from connected devices and combining the data with other kind of information which can help in conducting a deep analysis. And if you see in stores, you were giving an example, I think we will see more beacons placed in stores to detect when people enter, where they spend their time, and you know, to enable better understanding of merchandise and personalization of merchandising. And we actually we see in transportation industry today, it's bound to expand its use of data from connected cars, you know, automated public transport systems, to reduce congestion and emission. I mean, emission has a role to play there, because you can use the data for that. And what I hear is that we will see more widespread use in manufacturing operations, connectivity of machines and everything, which will definitely improve operations and predict maintenance needs. So you don't have failure, which is unplanned shutdown. Rather, you can plan your production, you can plan your operations, and ultimately, it's going to be leading to more innovative products. You know, during what some of us are calling as the digitized industrial revolution, and I'm one of those firm believers, we've already moved from industrial era to digital era.
Right.
So Vishal, just to summarize what I said and what I collected from our discussions till now, it seems that there is a quantum disruption coming in the way the factories are being run now. They will change. And business choices are being made by collecting massive amount of data about personal choices. It seems that with that kind of data collection, it may seem that who is in Kill of Data may know more about a person than the person himself. Like, you have data about me, my habits. You may know more about me than I know about myself. You know, like you gave an example of the mangoes. So basically what it is doing, somebody is challenging an opinion which is built on experience of eating mango at different places or a fruit by providing the right data, analyzing it properly. So that's what I see is going to happen in future. Do you see it going in the same direction? So, Vishal, definitely your insights will be very useful to us and our listeners. Can we take this one up after the break? So let's take a short break, and we'll continue with your thoughts after the break.
Awesome.
Welcome back. You're listening to a very interesting discussion today on Global Business with Mahesh Joshi. Why it's interesting? Because we have with us Vishal Kumar, an author, innovator, and mentor, discussing one of the most important and relevant subjects of the modern times, the big analytics and how it's changing the landscape of global business. Vishal, thank you so much for the first three sessions. Very, very interesting. Now, when we close the third session, we were looking at how is the quantum disruption coming in the way factories are being run. Please go ahead.
Yes. So again, thank you. Very, very, very important question. So we have a lot of data. So that's the fact. So we have a lot of data. We can analyze. There are systems available that can do these things. So we know a lot more. So I think you raised an interesting point that we may know a lot more about us than we actually do from the data that we interact with. But I think, so that's good to know, right? But there is another massive cultural element of trust, right? Of trust, of understanding the trust and respecting the trust and privacy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think one of the things that definitely businesses could leverage and could understand is how they can, so data itself means nothing. So data, knowing what they know itself means nothing. It's the value that I want.
Right.
If that's delivered by data, that is something that probably I'll be interested in. So, and I think one of the interesting thing that we are seeing as businesses are relying more and more on data, and I'll take you back into the conversation of strategy and engineering gap. So art versus science.
Yeah.
So whenever we go in analytics, it's science. Science is predictable. Science we know, right? Art is something that we want to preserve. Art is something that defines us. That is our core differentiator. So from that perspective, we want to make sure as a business, we understand the art. And then we use the science to embrace the art that what we are progressing. So I'll give you one example. So there was a retail, online retail store. In summer days, suddenly they saw a huge spike in ornament, the Christmas tree ornament getting sold. And they had no clue.
Right.
But sure, they started acting on it, on that information, and they start supplying. But in summer, it costs more because it's not seasonal. They have to, again, revive those factory and productions. So they realized that after some digging, that because there's a free shipping gap that everyone was filling in, and there was an item on that particular season that was hot, and the system itself was suggesting an ornament to fill up that gap. So now that's the science at play with no art in it, right? So you end up sort of the system at end up generating, and businesses had no clue, and they were sort of puzzled what's going on. So that is definitely one of the core area that we should be cognizant on.
Yeah.
I think one of the thing that I definitely want to say is Stockdale's paradox. So there's a book called Good to Great by Jim Collins, and he told a story about Admiral Stockdale, where he was captured in Vietnam and he was asked who dies first. So he said optimists die first, right? So they had massive hopes, and then it just shattered, and they're just pretty much gone, right? Then dies pessimist. Yeah. Because they were just killing themselves anyways. The only guys who survive are the realists. So they understand the situation. They understand the optimism, pessimism, and then sort of they can revive a mid ground to do those things. So I think that's something that we all have to sort of work on when we're working through this this data and understanding how the businesses run on those.
Perfect. You know, Vishal, I want to bring in something which is very exciting, sports. politics. And I see analytics has a role in sports performance and politics. It's becoming very evident, you know, and it's growing. Well, let's look at that. You know, the movie Moneyball, or if you would have read the book, you can see how Oakland A baseball team used data analytics. They challenged long-held beliefs about the metrics that can predict players' performance. You know, that was just a few years ago, not many years ago, that many teams across all sports have since followed suit, and they have become more data-driven. A more recent trend is that athletes themselves are using statistical analysis to monitor, analyze, and enhance their performance. Because there are some finer points which can make them excel at a professional level. And across several sports, it's happening now. And the most recently, I read about the NBA star, Kevin Durant. He worked with a personal analyst, Justin Dormallo, to optimize his shooting efficiency from a range of positions on the court for the past couple of years. What was the result? In 2014, that he became the MVP and took the Oklahoma City Thunder to Western Conference Finals. And similarly, some of the Olympians, athletes, they are working with personal statisticians to capture the data and design their workout and optimize their mean schedule and performance. It looks like in future, the sports analytics may become mainstream. Like it may start from the very beginning of the sports in schools and colleges. So that's one observation I had. And I would like now to take it towards the closing of our program. We have a few more minutes left, Vishal. So if you look at it, I gave this example of politics also. We have seen in politics how people are using to decide where the vote banks are, where to focus and all that, and what they need to say there. But beyond that, there's a belief building up that data analytics is becoming an integral part of our day-to-day life. That's number one. And but I want to get your thoughts about this. What is the future of data analytics? One, in what we talked about, day-to-day life. And second, more important for our listener, how's it going to impact global?
Very good. I think a very good question, and it's packed. So let me take one by one. So politics and sports. So beautiful areas. It's very close to our cultures. We believe in our teams. We believe in our system of democracy wherever we live. So analytics has an amazing role to play in those verticals. So if you look at Brexit, and if you look at the US elections, right? So analytics pretty much failed to deliver us the insight that pretty much suggested what happened.
That's
right?
A very good point.
So
yeah.
So it's right. I think one of the things that we saw during the season. So everyone was asking, hey, which data company did these guys use? How did they figure out this particular success? And I think my understanding of that particular scenario is there is a lot of dehumanized analytics around. So if you don't capture that, so our data is as good as its source. So if the source is not proper, if you're missing out on a source, whatever analytics tell you, it's not going to be the truth. So it is, I think it's incumbent or it's important for businesses to understand the source of the data and be very inviting to as many sources, because the more you know, the more you can learn and the more you can utilize. So I think what one of the bigger things that definitely I'm picking out from this question was that if businesses had seen the failures that Brexit and US election brought to the analytics, there would be a colossal failures, right? So these things these failures ask people to question what is going on. So that's why it's very important for the business leaders to again protect and preserve the culture of businesses, right? So just don't go and jumping on the bandwagon of analytics, but slowly bring them into your culture. So you're not building a culture around analytics, but you are using analytics to empower your culture. So that's one of the things that definitely is a must go. And in the sports arena, it's no different. We see, like, I was talking to one of the analyst company who sports analytics on how they failed to predict the success of an athlete because of wrongly delivering or understanding wrong analytics. So analytics is pretty much collecting of successes and telling you where you can probably find some success, right? But if you have your inherent art, inherent edge, then how would analytics help it? So that's why whenever you see, I think US does it really well in many cases, and China too, is they embrace the art and use analytics to empower that art. And whenever you see the other way, where you use analytics to build an art, that's where we see some failures, and those are expensive failures, by the way. So I think that's for the politics and story. And I think one of the closing statement that I can pretty much provide here is that culture of a company is extremely important for businesses. So protect and preserve the culture, and be very, very inviting and adaptable to this current ecosystem changes. And people are using it. If you have to jump on this bandwagon, whether you want to do it or someone do it for you. So I would rather have you take the first step, understanding and embracing it, rather than market pushing you in that area. And you sort of, it's not going to be pretty. So that's I think that's my takeaway. Appreciate the culture and protect and preserve it when you're implementing analytics.
And that's a very powerful statement. You know, it seems, as you've explained so well, Vishal, in today's economic climate, organizations, individuals must rely on a combination of experience and data, as you said, art and science, and whichever way you want to count, but don't use one alone, and leverage, as you said, the cultures and data supporting it or whatever initiative you have to make decisions, and that will affect the performance for years to come. And before we close, Vishal, I just want to share with our audience the impact of data on our life nowadays. And I wanted to share some three facts with them. So imagine between today and tomorrow, just two days, we create information which is as much as we did from the beginning of time until 2003. That's the magnitude of data. And in every minute, we send more than 210 million emails, generate almost 2 million Facebook likes, send almost 300,000 tweets, and upload approximately 200,000 photos to Facebook. And there are more than 575 new websites. Imagine that, spring into existence every minute of every day. That's the magnitude of data we're dealing with. So Vishal, thank you for joining us today. Appreciate the brilliant insights you have provided about the big analytics. It has been a very intriguing discussion. You provide amazing insights and a view into the future. And I wish you a great success with your books. And we learned a lot with you today that how to mix art and science to be successful in global business. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mahesh. Privileged to be part of it.
I thought I was sick of home, but actually I was homesick. Never really knew that I would have to grow up so quick. I'm so uncomfortable, don't know anybody here. Just a couple dudes that I met once, that's it. And I go into the booth feeling nervous. Got butterflies in my stomach like I'm so worthless. Is the mic on? I don't know how to work this. Inside I'm breaking down, I hope I'm not up on a circle.